The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to The First Cut. I'm Rick Gaiman. And if you have not watched the end of the Zozo, stop. We're going to spoil this for you in about 5 more seconds. So if you're waking up and you're drinking your coffee and you're firing up the DVR to see what happened last night, you might want to pause. Greg Ducharme first here. We're going to spoil the results of everything that's going on in the world of golf right now.
Yeah, and I'm happy to be the one to do it. Big congratulations to, again, one more notice. This is a spoiler alert, okay? Congratulations to Keegan Bradley. Well, I mean, what a victory. I was so moved by it. All the interviews and all the post-round press conferences I watched, I couldn't help but feel love for this guy. It was so cool. Keegan is such a different character to me these days. And I really enjoyed watching him play, watching some of the highlights, watching his performance. But more than anything else, what he had to say after the tournament.
Yeah, great stuff afterwards. The career evolution on Keegan Bradley is one of the best that we've got in the last decade or so. Mark Immelman is here. Mark, good to have you.
Yeah, it's good to be here. We talk about golf. Can we for a minute just revisit what happened yesterday in college football? And I'm just concerned. Has anyone checked on Knoxville, Tennessee? Is it still there? I mean,
our very own Jenny Dell was on the sidelines afterwards. Hopefully she made it out all right, because things are getting crazy.
I got to give a shout out to MK Rotenberry, who's her on sideline PA, who does work for us in the summertime for CBS Golf. And MK's from Aberdeen, Texas, and has sort of come up through the ranks and got a really good gig there. But I saw her getting bustled about the place to grab the Tennessee coach, but pulled it off. So good on you, MK, doing it for the greater good.
Kyle Porter is here. KP, that's what golf would have been in 2022 if they never stopped that tradition where they go to try to first guy gets the ball out of the cup. Everybody rushes, right? And, you know, everybody, instead of jumping on the goalpost, they're ripping out flag sticks from all over the golf course and throwing them in lakes. That's the, you know, if they never stopped that tradition, that's what we would have seen.
Yeah, St. Andrews, that would have been quite a scene. We'd just carry Cam Smith into the North Sea. You guys need to check on me after what happened to my Cowboys yesterday with TCU. That was a tough scene. They blew a 2-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter. I got to say, I might not seem awake on this stream. I've been up for like 2 hours writing, rewatch. We got home from this concert last night, so I'm watching the Zozo as it's, you know, you get home and it's like they're on the back nine. So I watched that. Then I watched the highlights. I missed a couple holes. I watched the highlights this morning. And I love the pre-church, get all the work done, get the podcast in. And then it's like NFL Sunday. It's every PGA Tour event should be in Japan, I think, is the takeaway.
I'm with you there, girl. I second that motion.
This is now a exclusive Japanese tour podcast. That's all we're going to talk about moving forward. My new favorite player, Kita Nakajima. That's who we're rolling with moving forward.
That boy's good. I mean, yeah. Let me tell you, he's good.
He's a stud. Real quick, before we jump into storylines, your daily reminder, that First Cut merch you want,
It is available 20% off through the end of the year. The checkout code that you need, FirstCut20. If you're watching on YouTube, Producer Troy's got a QR code fired up right there. You can just scan it on your cell phone, take you right to the shop, get your hats and your shirts and your sweatshirts and your merch, all that fun stuff for the rest of the year, 20% off. Start with the Zozo. The final group, Greg. Keegan Bradley, Ricky Fowler, Andrew Putnam. Two things about this group. They were all about 1,500 days since their last victory. There was a cool little stat they showed on the broadcast. Putnam and Keegan, 2018 were their last victories, and Ricky's was it the 19 waste management or was it the 18 waste management?
19. It was 19.
19 waste management. So basically 1,500 days for all of those guys. There was a point on the back nine, Greg. You hit one good shot, you win this thing. It was a pillow fight. Nobody was really taking it from anybody. It was a battle of attrition.
Yes, I think that's a fair way to say it. Now you look at the scorecard for Keegan, and on that back nine, he made a couple of bogeys. He got it going on the front nine a little bit with birdies at five and six back to back there. Added another one at 11, and then it started making a couple of bogeys there, where it started to get really tight. But you're right; it had that feeling of, well, who's gonna make a play here? Who's ready to take this thing? And it came down to what Keegan did on 17, getting it out of trouble and then burying the putt from what was that, like 15 feet or so?
Yeah, 15, 20.
Yeah, critical putt there. And it's that moment where, hey, I can take this thing. This is mine right now if I want it. And he wanted it enough, which was really cool.
I think, Mark, if we were playing the Paul Azinger pressure drinking game, I think we would have been dead on the back nine, because I'm sure every shot felt like there was a lot of pressure. I mean, Andrew Putnam ran multiple putts 7 feet by trying to make comeback. It was kind of not hard to watch because it was exciting. It added drama. But I'm sitting there doing the math, wondering if Emiliano Grillo getting in the clubhouse at 13 under par had a chance.
At one stage, you thought he might, and that was the thing, because if you looked at the scoring, you know, day one was kind of difficult. No one really got busy. Then day two, everyone shot low and shot the grass off the place. And then the third round, people were moving about the place, some low scores. And then the final day, I mean, you had Emiliano shoot six, I think it was, and Xander shot five under. But largely, you know, if you were shooting a couple three under, you were moving up the leaderboard. But final round Sundays on the PGA Tour just hit different. And you got that the three in the final group you referenced. It's been a long time since a win. And, you know, par was becoming a good score at one stage there. And as you looked at them, and I sort of considered this for a while, because I guess everyone, including the Japanese fans, were pulling for Ricky. And then Andrew Putnam's kind of the outlier a little bit, and Keegan, honestly, was the most decorated, arguably, of all the golfers in that final trio there, with a major championship and what's it now? Has he got six wins or five wins or something? So you would almost hand the advantage, five wins, sorry. So you'd hand the advantage to Keegan. But goodness gracious me, it looked like it was just who was going to survive and get across the line. And to Greg's point, that birdie on 17 was, well, take a step back. I mean, after shanking a bunker shot on 16 and getting out, that was pretty clutch. That to me was the moment on that final nine there. And you got to hand it to Keegan. I mean, you could see afterwards with all the emotion, just how meaningful it is. And the longer as a winner you don't win, the longer it wears on you mentally and emotionally, and it just grinds your mental gears some. So to finally get one under the belt, I'm sure he's feeling over the moon right now.
I think there's a bunch of different forms careers can take on, right? You can be the Spieth, where you come out of the gates and win a lot and like you just have a ton of success and you keep having success and you go, you know, you're on President's Cup and Ryder Cup teams and all this stuff. You can take the Jimmy Walker path where you kind of grind for a long time, then you win at the end of your career. I actually think Keegan's career has been the hardest type to deal with mentally, because he comes out and he wins three times in his first two or three years, wins a major. He's like you know, 26 years old, and you're like, man, this guy's going to be like awesome for the next 15 years. And then he doesn't win for 6 years. And mentally, to try to like recapture what you had or what you did, I mean, that seems really hard. And I think it takes a toll on, I can't think off the top of my head of another player who did something like that. Spieth has been a little like that, I guess. His success was I think longer and greater obviously than Keegan's, but mentally it's just taxing. And so I think some of that emotion was a result of like, man, I'm trying to be who I was when I was 26, and that's really hard to do. And I can accomplish it a little bit at a time. And I thought it was cool that he said, hey, I want to be on the Ryder Cup team and I want to contend in major championships. He went 8 years between top tens at majors. He went from 2014 to 2022. I can't remember. I think he finished in the top 10 at the US Open this year, or maybe the PGA.
US Open.
Okay. He did. I think it was like T7 at the US Open actually, but yeah. He didn't, he just hasn't been who we thought he was going to be, you know, 10 or 11 years ago. And I think mentally that's taxing. And we saw some of that come out as a result of winning this golf tournament.
The especially emotion, Greg, sorry, I'll tee
you
up.
Go ahead.
The emotion, Greg, you could see it. It was brewing even before he tapped in the final putt on the 72nd hole. He marks one from about 2.5 inches. What was it? That's one of the shortest marks we've seen in a while.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah. So he marks it from about 2.5 inches away, and you can see the emotion already brewing there. And then you got some good stuff afterwards. And as Kyle's alluding to, you know, hey, he's got loftier goals than just this fifth PGA Tour victory. He's got goals to be on the Ryder Cup team. He's got goals to contend more often in major championships.
And you look at him through this career path, which the difficult thing about this and what makes it so unique is not only, you know, where the wins fall for him, but the fact that he was so affected by a rule change in the game of golf. Right. The anchor band comes along and Keegan goes from a routinely top 50 putter to a routinely outside the top 150. And this past season was the first season on tour since the anchor band where he actually gained strokes putting for the year. And so that's a huge hurdle to overcome. And it's like this roadblock that has been put on you by an outside source. And there are so many ways to look at that when, you know, whether you're dealing with a business and there's a political change, a law changes and it hampers your business dramatically, or, you know, you're in the game of golf and a rule changes like this for Keegan. And it's so easy to go and blame outside forces. You know, the USGA ruined my career. You know, it'd be so easy to take that path and go down a negative mindset. But what we see today with Keegan is such a positive reinforcement. And the number one thing that I hear is this gratefulness that he's able to be out here and still doing what he's doing and still have goals at the age of 36. And it's like he missed his prime. You know, the prime of his career, he's spending trying to figure out a new way to putt. And he's still a great ball striker. And I'm sure he still looks around and says, I can play with these guys, but I can't score with them right now. It's extremely frustrating. And it's a great story of, you know, overcoming an obstacle.
That's a really good take there, Greg. And just to build on that a little bit, to Kyle's point and to your observation, if you look at the courses he's won at, you got a Ronimink where he won the BMW, which is a big boy golf course. You won at the Athletic Club in Atlanta for the PGA Championship. He won at Firestone, the South course, which is all you want. I mean, year in, year out, when that course was on the rota, it was arguably the most difficult and really the most demanding from tee through green. And in my opinions, for all the times I've watched him play and stuff, he's on my all PGA Tour flusher team. I mean, the guy hits it. He really does. And then to have to battle the putter change for a while, that can get under your skin, because you know me, what I'm like about being able to recover and save strokes. And saving strokes was never a thing he really had to do because he hit it so well. And when he shows up at big golf courses, those major championship places, to Kyle's observation, he's like, well, this is going to rule out half of the field, so it's going to mitigate some of my weakness, if you will. And now to get here to a place which was a little easier, you know, with soft conditions and stuff. The weather was cold, so that made it hard. I'm sure it's nice for him to see, okay, I can win more than just that style golf course I was playing on. And I feel like even at 38 years young or whatever he is, he's in good shape. You know, he's never really battled too much injury. If he can keep this groove going on with a putter, maybe this does unlock like Keegan Bradley 2.0 for a little while.
As mentioned, the first four full seasons for Keegan Bradley on the PGA Tour, a positive putter, and in some years, a big time positive putter. Then the 6 years of being a big time loser, getting it back on track in the 2022 season, now off to a roaring start in the 2023 season with his fifth PGA Tour victory, Kyle.
A big time loser.
That's true.
Okay, so
statistically, big time loser.
And I think to Yael's point, I don't know that. I know the DFS community is like, you know, they have this whole Keegan thing, right?
And big time, yeah.
First round leader, ball striking, all this stuff. I don't know that I want to talk about this with Ricky a little bit too. I don't know that the average golf fan is really aware of how good of a ball striker Keegan is. So if you look since 2011, January 1, 2011, the top five ball strikers. So this is approach shots and off the tee. No names that will surprise you. Rory, DJ, Rom, Morikawa, Hovland. So that's kind of your bait. That's your elite. Like, these guys are the best ball strikers in the world. If you go down the list, Keegan is number 24. So the guys that he's hanging out with, Bryson, Tony Finau, Gary Woodland, ahead of Daniel Berger, ahead of Tommy Fleetwood, ahead of Brooks Koepka, ahead of Tyrrell Hatton, ahead of Henrik Stenson, ahead of Webb Simpson. So he's like he doesn't necessarily fit in with those guys in terms of wins and like what he's accomplished at major championships. But man, he is he's not an elite ball striker. He's a really, really good ball striker and has been so for, you know, 10, 11, 12 years.
I agree with you, but I would counter that with saying those are numbers, right? And the one thing to contend on those big golf courses I spoke of is the ability to hit long irons high. And Keegan Bradley can elevate the thing off hard pan lies. I mean, if you talk about a guy who can really launch it, and all the greats in my estimations of all time have been able to hit the thing in the air. Jack Nicklaus said, you hit long irons high and wedges low, and you're going to be able to play anywhere. And Keegan does that as easily as anyone in the game. I mean, that guy can launch it. Not necessarily as far as the Rorys and company. He's not short, but he hits the thing in the air so easily. It's almost his go-to shot. That's why he is, you know, the numbers might say one thing, but when you get to certain style golf courses, he instantly has an advantage from tee through green because of the trajectory.
That might be my problem. I hit my wedges high and my long iron slow. I gotta flip that a little bit. 2-under 68 for Keegan Bradley en route to victory on Sunday. The man he beats out, Greg, or at least one of them, was our 54 hole leader, was Ricky Fowler. I don't know if we have that drop anymore. Ricky Fowler, who in all orange was going for that first victory since the 2019 Waste Management, was not particularly sharp. He made birdies on 7 and 18. The latter was too little too late, offset by bogeys on 3 and 15, all pars on the card otherwise.
Yeah, I would say it's a positive step in the right direction, considering all that Ricky's gone through. And I'm kind of fascinated by the start to this season for Ricky. It was a T6 at the Fortinet, missed the cut at the Shriners with a couple of 70s, and then, you know, has a really legitimate chance to win here. You could argue he should have won this tournament. But the changeover from John Tillery back to Butch Harmon is what's so interesting to me. And I wonder, were some of the habits and some of the routines that he was building with John Tillery kind of just starting to come through? You know, in a way, Michael Bannon, Pete Cowan, and Rory McIlroy, that trio, that changeover last year reminds me of this in a way. Or is this the old things that he used to do with Butch coming back and being so easily received because he's done them before? They've led to success before, and it brings on some confidence of freedom. And I wonder what kind of has led to this success. But all in all, you're looking at a game that's ready, that's there to compete. And now it's a matter of believing that he can do it for 4 days. And I don't think there's a better coach on the planet who can take a player who has this kind of ability and get him to do it on Sunday than Butch Harmon. So I think Ricky's in a really good place. You know, he's a day away, if you will.
That's a good take there. As I know the two of them, Butch and Tillery, I would say Tillery's more of a golf instructor and Butch is more of a golf coach. And now Butch will make some technical adjustments with you, but they're always very simple. They're always very visual. There's never a whole lot of data spoken, you know, unlike some of the modern day, the younger instructors. And Butch is very much a player's guy. So I'm sure one of the first things he was talking about with Ricky was, all right, you're doing all this stuff. Now it's the 16th hole Sunday at the Zozo and you got to hit a fade. Do you have that shot? And so there's a lot of shot making that he'll always work on, and then target selection and stuff. Like when he hooked up with Tiger Woods at the start, after he was working with Greg Norman, a lot of it was just management with Tiger and starting to say, look, you hit these sorts of clubs off the tee here. And when there's water down the left, you don't miss over there and you pick the correct shot. So you could sort of see some of that going on with Fowler, because as he played today, he didn't have his best stuff, but he was never really short-sighting himself. And he was leaving himself longer putts, but they were putts because they were playing into his strengths. And he had started to speak of the fact that the putter has felt more comfortable. So it's, to me, a move that is more up Ricky's alley. Because when he was a stud coming out of college at Oklahoma State, his golf swing, you wouldn't go and teach to people. But the guy could hit any shot in the book. And he could hit it from any lie in the book. And he believed in what he was doing. And that belief is a crucial word, because then when you start doing something different, then there's always that questioning, that underlying doubt. And to me, he looked, even though it wasn't there, the comportment, the way he spoke, just the comfort level looked like he was, I'm okay with Ricky now again. And to me, to your point, Greg, I feel like he's close now. You know, twice he's been in contention, now he's been in the final group, and he's hung around. He didn't capitulate today. He was there. He had a shot toward the end. So this is good news for Ricky Fowler.
The modern Ricky Fowler story, KP, kind of has to be zoomed out a little bit here. And you tweeted a little bit something alluding to this about how long this slump has gone on. So I'm looking through the results here. It's about 2.5 years. You can kind of pinpoint an exact moment. The end of 2019, he finishes T6 at the Open Championship. He finishes T11 at a playoff event. He finishes, then starts the next year, 2020, with a great finish in Maui at the Tournament of Champions. He's the 36-hole leader at the American Express. And you're thinking, okay, an event he's played well at. Here we go. Ricky, full throttle ahead. Finishes T10 that week. And since then, January 2020, by my count, 4 total top 10s, and 2 of them have been just in the last 3 starts. So it's been a long, long slump for Ricky.
Yeah, I think it was, what, PGA Championship, CJ Cup, and then the last 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, I mean, and that's sort of what I was alluding to earlier, is I think that the average golf fan might tune into like majors and like 3 other tournaments or whatever. And I think if you do that, you don't really, I think if you just polled average golf fans, they'd be like, oh yeah, Ricky, like how's he doing? He seems like he's, you know, still on the PGA Tour Instagram account. Like he's if you look at the numbers legitimately, like just objectively, he's an average PGA Tour player. He's like a 0 strokes gain guy on the PGA Tour. And that's not bad. I think sometimes guys like that, and even guys that are better, when they start to like, we talk about them as if they're horrible, but the reality is you're just comparing them to their former self. And so it seems, or it is worse than it used to be. But if you just looked at the overall picture, they're not like bad players. They're just not who they once were. And I think, you know, this feels a little different, I think, to Mark's point, than last year. The CJ Cup, he finished T3 behind when Rory won. And then he didn't have a top 20 in 2022 or after that until the was it the Fortnite that he finished T6?
Yeah.
He didn't have a top 20, which is like, it was weird because he pops up at the CJ Cup and you're like, okay, like this could lead to something. He misses three majors, doesn't have a top 20, doesn't do anything. And now all of a sudden it's caddy change. It's coach change. It feels like building towards something in 2023. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. It would have been the thing that people don't talk about. It would have been easy for him to jump to Live. I'm sure he got a stupid number from them to come over there and just sort of play out his career or whatever. But to keep grinding like he has and to grind out some top tens on the PGA Tour and to, I think, engender some real optimism from not only himself for his, like, for 2023, but from fans also of like, hey, Ricky could have a good year. And that's fun for golf. That's good for the PGA Tour. So I'm excited about that. I'm glad for him. He's always been just behind the scenes, like, super nice and kind and cares about people in the game and all that stuff. So I'm pumped for his 2023.
Easiest guy to root for. Let me tell you, as anyone who's out on golf course looking for information, always takes questions, always gives you honest answers, always has time for one. I'm a fan of Ricky Fowler. I really am. And to what Kyle said, I have to give a nod to Ricky Romano. Look, all credit to Joe Scovrin and a long time career with Ricky. But when Ricky decided, okay, it's time to make a change, I'm trying a new direction with Butch again. I'm getting rid of Joe, which was difficult because they're longtime buddies, and then just putting up the clubs for a few weeks just to kind of get himself mentally attuned and into where he's going. He comes back with Ricky Romano on the bag, who they're essentially the same guy, man. They're both from Southern California. They speak the same. They look the same. They walk the same. And Ricky has worked for some difficult kind of characters before. I won't list names, but you know, being on Fowler's bag must feel like a heavenly job for him. And he's a really energetic sort. And when a player is leaking confidence, to have someone who's seeing the sunshine for the storm clouds all of the time, that is a really helpful deal. And so I feel like, not that Ricky Romano hits shots or anything, but I think behind the scenes, he's this little moving force all the time. That's kind of the energy cell that's driving the thing. So they're on a good wicket in my opinion right now.
And good for Scovron and Ricky, right? Like those both of those guys. I mean, you've been around it, Mark. They're both the easy guys to like and to root for and to talk to. You know, with Scovron getting the best player in the world's bag, and then Ricky's, you know, recent resurgence. It's I'm genuinely glad for both of those guys because they're two fun, good guys in the world of golf.
Final thoughts here on Ricky Fowler, Greg. Worth noting, we've been tracking this for a while. This is technically the last year of his exemption from that victory in 2019. So Ricky
That's
Fowler,
crazy.
Tour member. Just through the end of this season. Now, even if he were to lose his car, we've talked about this a lot, sponsors exemptions would be it'd be fine, right? He'd play a lot, but now through a couple of events, he's seventh in the FedEx Cup standings. This is a year where only the top 70 are going to advance to the playoffs. Like this is critical for him to get out of the gate as fast as he has.
Yes, and it will go a long way with the confidence. And again, Kyle brought up it feels different than last year. And I think that's really true. So there were two other things that stand out to me about what both Kyle and Mark had to say. One, Kyle, as I just mentioned, it feels different than last year. I think so much of that has to do with these changes that he's made. And going to Butch Harmon, who's a coach, as Mark Immelman pointed out, that's so important for a Ricky Fowler because he is a shot maker. He's not a ball striker. He moves the ball both ways, which is not really the common theme out on the PGA Tour these days. More and more guys are going to a single shot shape model where they hit the same shot over and over and over. Ricky isn't that way. And to have a coach like Butch Harmon on your side who sees it that way, understands your game, understands the way you see it, is extremely valuable. And I think his shot making abilities play a huge role in what he does on the greens. And as I've started to see Ricky's greens irregulation number go up, I've also seen his confidence go up with the putter. And there's way less pressure on his putter at the start of this year. And I think that's going to go a long way into 2023.
Keegan Bradley wins the Zozo Championship. Ricky Fowler, Andrew Putnam tie for second. Emiliano Grillo's. Talk about guys who improved their putting. How can you not be optimistic, right? Greg, about Emiliano Grillo moving forward? Oh,
come on. I mean, keep it rolling. I mean, another teaser for tomorrow. I won't say that. But if he's playing, I haven't checked. Is he playing? Is he playing next week? If
you can't say a teaser.
He's just teasing a tease. He's not even willing to commit to the full tease. He is.
Is he playing next week?
I'll check. Don't know. Yes, he's. Yes, he is. He's in the field for the CJ Cup.
Well, then I'm playing.
I keep forgetting the CJ Cup's in the United States.
Five different courses in 5 years.
Yeah, that's right. It is. Was it two different ones at Vegas?
Yes.
Okay. Shadow Creek and.
You tell me.
Oh gosh, I don't know.
Summit Club.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. It was bizarre that they went. Vegas, Korea. Japan, South Carolina.
Yeah.
In the last 3 weeks, Greg, is what I'm talking about.
Oh, right.
Yes.
That sounds like a horrible movie plot, and it's like the PGA Tour's route to
South Carolina is the best course of the bunch.
I love this place.
Yeah. For real. That was a thrill going there. It's
good. Yeah, I think next week will be cool.
Sorry, did I interrupt you, Kyle? Were you going to say something else?
No, you kind of got by this this live thing, though. You promised a winner off the top, and we're not going to have one by the time we have to talk about it.
Yeah, so here's what we're going to do. We've got... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry, I was interrupting you. Do your read.
We are going to chat about this live event, which we are still waiting on a conclusion. Again, spoiler alert, they're headed to a playoff. Big week for team... Crush. Two guys, Brooks Koepka, Crushers. Peter Uline.
I think it's Crushers.
I don't think it's the Crushers. I don't think it's the team.
Wait, here's the question I was going to ask.
I think it's Team Smash, actually.
Smash and Crushers, yeah.
Yeah, Team Smash is Koepka's team.
I'm going to pitch you this question, Rick, because yes. Everyone's like, oh, the team aspect is interesting. When you switch on the leaderboard, wherever you find it, do you go to the team scores first or the individual scores first?
Admittedly, I have never ever looked at the team standings.
All right. Okay. I'm team. It's not the most interesting. Like, I don't think it's primary. I think at times they've tried to make it primary, and it's not primary. But I think it's here's the way I explained it, Mark. I was talking to a player at the Open. And I said, listen, like, the team thing is kind of goofy or whatever. But like, my son, who's 8, he saw the team stuff and he's like, you know, it'd be cool, Dad. It'd be cool if Scheffler and Spieth and JT and Rory were on the same team.
Yeah, it's cool. And,
well, yeah, I mean, we get it once every once a year. Right. Well, Rory's not on Team USA, but I think there's an element of it that like kids can understand because they follow football and basketball and baseball and all this stuff. And it doesn't like, you don't need to make it like the primary thing. I'm not saying that. I've been surprised by how interested is the wrong word, but how compelled I've been by some of the team stuff.
Yeah, cool. Again,
I'm a fan of the team aspect, just not how they've chosen the teams, which was friends, randomness, brothers.
Arbitrary. It was nonsense.
And along those lines too, because when I have watched, I've sort of tried to figure out what's happening with the teams, but I don't like the fact that the format of the scores accumulated over the day has changed, where it's like two scores count on the first couple of days and then on the final day, all scores count or whatever. I'm like, someone make this a little easier, because the one day when the South African squad, you know, to your thing, they're just all buddies on one team, when they were in contention, I'm like, yeah, they're doing great. And then, because I was counting just the two best scores, then someone's like, no, there's three scores being counted.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is, yeah, sorry.
The way that's presented is kind of weird. Even like the team, the Miami, the final event, I think we went over it on this podcast, Rick. It's like, there's It's more confusing than the FedEx Cup playoffs used to be. You're like, I have no idea like what's going on here.
They just showed a graphic and I was like, I had to like take a, I had to take a screenshot of it, Greg. Cause I'm like, okay, I see this graphic. I don't know how I'm going to explain this when I have to talk about it.
It's a, you got to read a 3-page essay to figure out the format. I mean, look, I understand that it's a new thing and it's up and coming, but what happens in leagues is we try to streamline things more and more and more so they become simpler and simpler and simpler for the fan to follow. The PGA Tour has been down that road over the last 15 years, maybe more, and this has started off extremely complicated. It's like every idea that they have come up with is thrown in together. And I don't think that attaches with people. You should know, you know, Rick shouldn't have to take a screenshot of a graphic to understand the format to explain to you. So it's interesting for you to watch. Just in a, you know, in a broad scheme of things, I think that concept is problematic for him.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. I've got some more time to kill. We're going to get a resolution to this live event, but we still have to go over our best bets for the week. Mark, do you have time or do I have to get you out of here?
You got to get me out of here. Okay. Yeah, but I got one more question you can ruminate on.
All right.
So if it's shotgun start the whole event, the sudden death, did they start on different holes or did they play the same hole? What's happening?
That would be sick. apparently they start on the same hole because Peter Uihlein and Brooks Koepka just teed off on the 18th. But
yeah, they're going to play 18.
That would be sweet if they teed off on like 1 and 18.
Yeah, just meet in the middle until it's over. Mark Immelman, available on Twitter at @Mark_Immelman. Mark, thank you. Good to have you. Go have a great Sunday.
Love you guys. We'll see you soon.
All right. Yeah. We will hit our best bets. We will hit the live stuff. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. All right, gents. So the First Cut Moneymaker Challenge, while the Live duo is walking up 18 fairway. Just to recap here, Greg, we'll start here with you. You have not participated yet in this challenge. We got to get you on a Tuesday show. But Patrick has taken this stance in fading Tom Kim over the course of the last 2 weeks. Let me tell you, hasn't gone particularly well. He had Hideki over Tom Kim this time around in his matchup. That is not going to work.
I understand the, you know, mindset there. Like, eventually this is going to fade for Tom Kim, but I think he just continues to show that he's really good and he's going to be a really consistent player out on the PGA Tour. So he's definitely becoming a dangerous guy to fade.
Patrick, rest of his card, Luke List, top 20. That was T29, unfortunately. So close, but no cigar there. Terrell Haddon and Tommy Fleetwood to win X and X. KP, your three ball. You got to hate it when this happens. Tom Hoagie.
It was tough.
Tom Hoagie getting plus money, finishes T9 and does not win this three ball because Cam Champ of all people, edges out Tom Hoagie by a stroke.
It was frustrating because I think Hoagie kind of gave me what I expected, something in like the, you know, not in the top five, but not outside the top 20. I was kind of going for something in that range. And
great. Yeah, he was so good.
When's Cam Champ's last top eight finish? I mean, he'll have them, right? I feel like when he has them, he wins. But this one was frustrating. I was monitoring it all week, and Hoagie never could get ahead of Champ. It was always like on my little leaderboard, Champ was always one spot ahead. And that's where he ended up finishing.
Last top eight for Cam Champ, T6. That was the Mexico Open.
Oh.
Before that,
5 months ago.
The one before that, last year's 3M Open.
And he won.
Before that, the 2020 Zozo at Sherwood.
Oh, that's painful, wow. Man.
That's a great bet.
Yeah, he doesn't. And that's sort of my point is when he top tens, he wins, right? Which is kind of odd. I mean, it's good for him. Like, that's what you want to do. But that's tough for my bet there.
Four top eight finishes in the last 3 years and 1 month, and he found one on you here.
Yes. Awesome. Love that.
Tough scene. KH Lee, top 20. No, Sungjae and Hoagie for outrights. Those are not going to work either. However, I got some green on the board.
Yeah, you did.
Terrell Haddon plus 115 over Cam Young. That was a sweaty one. Cash by a shot. And Greg, the guy I identified as my favorite of the Japanese players heading into the week, Kazuki Higa, to finish inside the top 40. He finished T36, but just inside the line, stays the same.
winner. A nice 69 on Sunday as well, which kept him in there. I guess 70 would have done it. 71 would have put him out. 70 would have hit right. The top.
He would
40.
Have been, he would have been 39th or T39, I guess.
Yeah. So he cleared it by two shots. Yeah. So hey, that's good. It's a gutsy play. But I like going with the top 40. Gives you in a no cut event, especially gives you a little leeway. And it hit. It's nice when it's a little closer in a top 40, right? It's no fun when you play, let's say, a Tom Hoagie top 40 and he comes in tied ninth. Man, I left a lot out there, but nice in this one.
Real quick, do we have any concern over two guys on here? Morikawa, who finished, I think, T46, and Cam Young, who finished like T50 or 51 or something. Do you guys have any concern? I mean, like one event it's dumb to get concerned over, but just in terms of like their sort of trajectory and path.
Okay. I have a little thing on each of them. So Colin went back to the standard, I think it's the Sim2 driver, which I think always worries me a little bit when a guy who has a deal that big is not playing the latest model and he's actually gone back. But you know what I mean? Like he's actually gone back. Like, so something, he did not like something about the stealth. And that always worries me a little bit just from, hey, comfort level, confidence, whatever it is that concerns me. That's the only concern I have about him. The Cam Young stuff's kind of more interesting because he has these elite tee to green weeks, and we've got all the runner up finishes and stuff like that, but he does have some bad weeks mixed in there. I mean, he lost four strokes on approach at the Scottish Open. He lost nearly five at the Memorial. He can have some weeks where he punts five strokes on the greens. Like he's young, he's raw and talented. And there's a lot of volatility still in that game.
Yeah. Cam Young, wasn't he near the lead at Memorial and then shot like 86 in the third round or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was weird.
We talked about that on Monday.
I know. I don't know why that came up on Monday, but it did.
That's odd. I think he's a little bit of the... It's almost like the Cam Champ thing we were talking about earlier. I think he's a better player than Cam Champ and more consistent, but he's got these like extremes. And I think that's... It doesn't necessarily look great when it's bad, like this week, but it's sort of what you want, where he's contending for majors and then finishing outside the top 50 at a no-cut Zozo, right? Like, who cares? It doesn't matter. You just have to go in knowing it's going to look bad in the bad weeks. Morikawa, I don't know, man. Like, I think there's a world in which he is not on the Ryder Cup team next year.
Wow.
Which sounds crazy, but I don't know. Like he hasn't done a lot this year. I know his number. I know the approach numbers are still good. I watched him. I probably talked about this on here. I watched him at the PGA when it was like super windy and kind of crazy that Friday, Saturday, and his ball striking just wasn't, it wasn't very good. And maybe it's an off day. I don't want to blow up his career based on one round at a major championship. I just don't know if he is the ball striker that, you know, in perfect conditions, yes. If there's anything else at all that's going on, I don't know. I don't love it.
How can you say he's not a great ball striker when I watched him hit a golf ball between a pane of glass this wide with the Dude Perfect guys earlier this week?
That was
pretty. How can you say that?
We were at the Dude Perfect offices like the day after that happened. I was like, could we have not gotten the invite for that day to watch that?
That would be cool. Fun stuff. All right. Do we have the standings here, Troy? No, you were right. Go to the money balls there. We whiffed on all these. Rick, Siwoo Kim, top 20. No. Patrick, top Japanese player. No, that honor went to Kita Nakajima. Oh, and Ryo Histatune. Histatune.
Wasn't Ryo Ishikawa up there too? I thought he was. I didn't mean to derail the podcast here.
Who? Ishikawa?
Was he not in the event?
No.
I don't
know. I think I saw Ryo and I just filled in Ishikawa. So
yes. My bad. So that Ryo was up there. T12 shared top Japanese.
That's on me.
I was like, oh man, I don't know. I don't think so. Hoagie. Okay. Kyle doubled down on this. So there's our standings for the money balls. And do we have our season standings?
Oh gosh.
That's okay.
It's early.
I like my line.
Yeah, you're carrying us. Thanks for carrying us, Rick. How's your back?
So far, so good. But there's 40 events to go. We'll see how it holds up.
We got to pull out of the red.
And Greg doing his best job of just being omitted from the list and not participating, which is as good as even.
Greg's like a live player, just no OWGR points, no money involved here.
I'd like to think I'm more like just a zero putter, right?
You're just a tour average player.
Average.
Zero cross support. All right. We will chat more live, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And we're back. I did not see what just happened. Did they just both tie 18?
They both have like two footers for birdie here.
Okay.
So we're kind of watching this as we're taping.
So this
Kepka's got 3 feet.
So Brooks Koepka, Peter Uihlein in Jeddah on the first playoff hole. I believe Uihlein's second shot was in the greenside bunker. He hit a peach out to, I don't know, a foot or two. And then Kyle, I think, what'd you say? So Koepka's got 3 feet for the birdie as well.
He had like a 40 footer for eagle. And I think he's got 3 or 4 feet for birdie. They should both make these. So we're not going to have a champion, I don't think, until after we're done.
Okay, that's fine. Well, we'll do it like this though. So the top of this leaderboard did have some other of the live big names: Joaquin Niemi, Sergio Garcia, Matt Wolf, Dustin Johnson, Paul Casey, all finished inside the top 10. Greg, this is the last just regular event for them. The event that they have, not this upcoming week. There's a week off, then they go to Miami. That's that team championship in which we discussed. There's kind of this bracket, and the top teams are already advanced, and there's three points awarded in head-to-head match play. It's this whole thing with, I'm sure we'll cover at some point again before that event, but you know, we're gonna have to start doing like season grades here, right? I mean, they've basically now completed, bar, you know, once this playoff ends, the individual regular events of LIV season one are in the books. We're gonna have to start grading this at some point.
Yeah, I suppose. You know, it's very interesting.
Craig doesn't look great. Craig,
I suppose you might have to ask me about that again at some point.
Yeah,
I suppose I'll be off that day.
Well, what's the, you know, we talk about this constantly, but I watch this. I look at this leaderboard. You talk about where we're grading all of this and everything, and I just it's just a shame to me. You got Brooks Koepka in a playoff in an event and that has Dustin Johnson as a top five, Joaquin Niemi, Sergio Garcia, Matt Wolf, all top fives, Paul Casey, a top five. And it's just like these guys are just gone to me. They're, you know, out of the world of golf, and it's OK. And I know DJ had his comments about regretting the decision and laughingly said he regretted it. Yeah, it was entertaining.
DJ's been kind of great through all this.
Yeah.
And DJ and Varner have been great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of in different ways. Right.
Yeah.
Varner definitely expressed his understanding of where everything is. And DJ's just raking in cash, you know, like right. Unbelievable amounts of money. And that's just what it's about. But it doesn't draw any attention. It doesn't draw very much buzz. We talk about it. And that's it. That's a like it. And I think going into next year, what is going to be very interesting to me to watch is what they draw on to generate buzz. Is the OWGR battle going to live on into next year? And is that going to create enough buzz to keep the tour going? Where last year we had so many player moves We had the exodus of PGA Tour players going to LIV, and that seemed to be the core centerpiece of the attention on LIV. And if you can't, you know, with their model, there's not going to be that much changeover. There may be some, and look, it can change in an instant, but what are they going to draw on for attention? And I think what you're seeing now over the last couple of weeks with the viewership, like we don't really need to watch Brooks Koepka. People aren't itching to watch them. They're not a big enough draw, as great as they are, where people have to see what they do. And but the fact that they left the PGA Tour was a major talking point. But maybe it wasn't because they are playing on a new tour, but it's because they're not playing on the PGA Tour anymore. So is the attention on the new tour, or is the was the attention just that they left the PGA Tour and that's dramatic? So I'm very curious to see what happens going forward. But I feel no buzz about this. I feel no buzz, very little comments, very little of any activity going on leading into this event or even during it.
Yeah. So as we, just for record keeping purposes, as we're live right now, it's 10:30 a.m. on the East Coast. Sun coming up on the United States. Brooks Koepka is in a playoff. 42,000 people watching on YouTube. You decide for yourself whether that is more or less than you thought. We can put a bow on it with this, Kyle. There were a couple of comments made. We've heard the DJ comments. Brooks Koepka had a comment that was something like, "Yeah, I'm finally playing well. I'm feeling good. I wish we had more than one event to play." And obviously, that's going to create a situation where people are like, "Well, you could have more events to play, bud." But he's at least, I suppose, from one angle, feeling good about his game, feeling good about his health.
Yeah, Brooks did this when he was on the PGA Tour. He would say one thing, and then 6 weeks later, he'd say a different thing, right? So that's not necessarily new for him. He just kind of is tossed about by the wind, it seems, at times. This was weird. I haven't watched much of this. I tuned in. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, don't get too deep because we got that static back from you. We can just end it if.
Yeah, I'll do some live stuff next week. We don't need to do it right now.
All right, the golf gods and the technology gods have said no more Kyle Porter live takes because the static is back. So. Here's what we'll do. We've got a Monday show coming up, CJ Cup Congaree. Awesome. Obviously, we're going to do the Tuesday. We'll recap everything else that's going on in the world of golf throughout the week. Big thanks, producer Troy, doing all the hard work behind the scenes. Greg Ducharme, available on Twitter at TheRealGFD. Kyle Porter at Kyle Porter CBS. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.